The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee!
Fonda's daughter spent time in jail. Steve Allen's kid ran away with a cult. And Bill Cosby's daughter was doing
Bobby in the Morning Fools on Power 92.
Hot time to get up!
I've got to try something new before we all die.
It's time now for America's hottest new game show, Crap It and Keep It! It's the game show with prizes too big to pass. Up!
Aren't you afraid of the dark?
Welcome to the Thunderbolt.
You should be.
For January 4th, 2019. So you've heard about the common definition for insanity, right? Well, evidently, the strategy of the Democratic Party moving forward is to just keep doing all of the very same things they have been doing all along, which happens to be a strategy that recently led to their getting their asses totally kicked by a frigging Nazi clown. And on that front, our local gentrifying and sold out to the highest bidder Democratic Party elites are making moves to marginalize our local progressive movement. I'm sure you are shocked by that information. And meanwhile, the left continues to tear each other apart, even as the war profiteers are laughing at us all the way to the bank, and even as the rest of the world prepares to burn. Now I, your humble Thunderbolt host, was recently accused of defending Alex Jones. Well, actually, that critic obviously had not actually read the article that they referenced, else they would have known that actually I defended Alex Jones' right to free speech. Not Alex Jones himself. In fact, I consider Alex Jones to be an utterly corrupt sensation monger. So actually, I say screw that guy. Even before I myself recently became the victim of a crowdsourced attempt to silence me, and even before all of the big social media platforms began their systematic campaign of political censorship. Speaking of which, by the way, I just heard a report from James Evan Pilato, who said that if you use FaceTrack to advocate for refusing to vote at all, then FaceTrack will suspend your account. Anyway, here's the thing. Suddenly, it seems to be the left that is running around trying to censor everyone, whilst the right has now become the champions of free speech. What the effing F word, mon? Back in my day, it was the other way around. So when the hell did this happen? So here is some con law 101. The First Amendment was specifically meant to protect controversial and or offensive speech. Because if it is not controversial and or offensive, then it usually does not need protection. Come on, people. The best counter to speech is counter speech. And if you cannot out-argue some fact-free right-wing nutcase, then I suspect that the problem does not lie with them. If they cause actual harm, or even if they use their speech to plan to cause actual harm, then nail their asses to the wall. But don't frigging say that they have no right to speak. That is like the ultimate slippery slope.
I sprang from a chair, I was annoyed since I sat opposite you. Oh,
once you establish a precedent
in my atmosphere gazing at the dawn,
that Nazis do not have a right to speak in public, then whose speech do you think they're gonna start banning after they ban the Nazis? And who do you think they're gonna start banning after they ban you? When I wrote about this previously, I noted the fact that Milo Yiannopoulos became a martyr and a hero to the nutcase right when some black flag kids decided to shut his events down.
Was it not guesswork based on my habits? No, I never guess was all that you said.
And then ironically, Mr. Yiannopoulos subsequently sunk his own ship by exercising his own free speech rights in order to advocate the benefits of having sex with small children. A lot of these guys will hang themselves if you leave them enough rope. Now we can see them. Now they're out in the open, rather than skulking in the shadows. And now we know that they're there. Let them speak. Allow them to hang themselves by their own petards. They're actually very good at that.
Now, here's your host, a guy who's really full of it, Bobby Harrison.
Hey, thank you, Uncle Dave, and thank you, studio audience.
Well, hey, Thunderbolts fans, are you tired of sociopathic greed heads who are making the planet uninhabitable for most of the life forms that currently exist here on Earth? Do you tire of frat boy a-holes who start wars based upon conscious lies that kill hundreds of thousands of innocent people? Are you infuriated that we live in a culture that puts people's souls through a frigging meat grinder and then blames them when they come out all ground up? Well, who you gonna call? I have a suggestion.
It's my Jim Bandit.
Yeehaw.
Jim Bandit to the rescue.
Oh yeah.
Jim Bandit to the rescue.
Let's go.
Jim Bandit to the rescue.
Got Jim Bandit.
Oh yeah.
I was sitting on a mountain top, 30,000 feet to drop. Tried to be on a runaway horse.
Now wish to posit a philosophical question to you, my listener. Do you believe that such human qualities as greed and violence are inherent, or are they acquired? Now, I personally think it is a combination of both. But the point is that it is becoming more and more apparent to me that we need to start figuring out the trigger mechanisms for such characteristics and try to mitigate them.
I was riding on a submarine, got a message from a mermaid queen. She was hanging on a fishing line, this daddy didn't waste no time. Jim Bandit to the rescue.
Got Jim Bandit.
Because this crap has got to stop if we want to continue surviving as a species. It's my recently derived theory that we represent a manifestation of the universe attempting to become aware of itself. If that is true, then that meshes perfectly with my previous theory that I've had for a long time now, positing that humanity is here to go beyond the rule of tooth and claw and make that reality obsolete. One of the problems, though, is that I suspect things like principles and honor, qualities that are nearly useless under the rule of tooth and claw, are mostly learned behaviors, whilst things like greed and violence, absolute necessities under the rule of tooth and claw, are indeed inherent.
Oh, Uncle Elijah, he's still alive. Oh, was winning that very night. He cussed the devil, yes, he cussed him good. He swore he'd lick him, yes, he swore he could. And he dared him to come to him if he would.
However, I take great heart from the fact that in spite of those realities, whilst significant minorities of us humans do tend to take things to extremes, most of us as individuals are not overly greedy or violent.
It was early in the morning when he got to bed to rest his weary gambling head, when he heard the angry words his pappy said. And fetched the wood. He heard his words and up it stood. Even though it hurt, he knew he should.
Yeah. Most of us believe in mutually beneficial cooperation as opposed to killing everyone else and stealing all their stuff. Most of humanity has already transcended the rule of tooth and claw. Is that one needs a certain level of economic security in order to be able to achieve this transcendence. It's much harder to maintain things like generosity and friendly, respectful cooperation when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, or when you are about to freeze to death because you don't have anywhere to live. And here's the craziest thing. There is plenty of almost everything to go around. It's just that a small handful of people are hoarding everything to themselves. Does anyone remember what we used to call the kids who did that in grade school?
Hey, who's our first crapper?
From Ypsilanti, come on down. You're our first contestant on Crap It and Keep It.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. And by the way, Bobby, I'm an M-O-M. A mom.
A little milk of magnesia humor. Stop milking the jokes, Emma.
So recently, I was invited to speak at an Impeach Trump event, which opportunity I turned down because I personally consider Mike Pence to be much more dangerous than Donald Trump. And I can't support any strategy aimed at putting Mike Pence into the White House.
Everybody.
But many others disagree with me. They think it is insane that a man such as Donald Trump literally has access to nuclear weapons. And yes, Donald Trump having his finger on the nuclear button is indeed quite scary. And that is indeed one area wherein I would indeed trust Mike Pence's judgment more than I would trust the rum. But in pretty much every other aspect and every other manner, I must respectfully critique this Pence would be better than Trump meme. First of all, Mike Pence has decades-long connections with organizations such as Focus on the Family and Operation Rescue. And he received significant funding from the Koch brothers. And he's also very tight with the DeVos and the Prince families. Mike Pence has serious money behind him. He has serious organization behind him. And he has been groomed for decades to assume positions of power. So I am sure that the presidency has always seemed a bridge too far. Until Mr. Fence suddenly found himself literally a heartbeat away. Mike Pence is an evangelical, fundamentalist Christian jihadist who thinks he should be able to use the power of the law to force his extreme and thoroughly bigoted religious superstitions down everyone else's throats. He has said exactly that for several decades now. He slashed funding for Planned Parenthood in Indiana whilst governor. This led to an HIV epidemic so severe that federal intervention was required. And also as governor of Indiana, Pence signed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which basically legalized discrimination and bigotry in public places. To make up for it, though, Pence unquestioningly supports Israel and all of the associated war crimes and apartheid. As a member of Congress, Pence co-sponsored a bill allowing hospitals to turn away women who were in need of life-saving abortions, and another bill that would have designated fertilized eggs as people with legal rights. Pence speaks in favor of jailing doctors who perform abortions. Pence tried to block federal funding of HIV treatments unless they came along with a requirement to advocate against same-sex relationships. Pence, of course, does not believe in climate change or in evolution. Pence's hostility towards science has apparently prevented him from understanding that human knowledge has progressed a bit since the 18th century. The bottom line, I am quite sure that Pence would be much more effective at promoting the nutcase right-wing agenda and getting that agenda into law than the rump is proving to be. And keep in mind that the Pence is a true believer in all of this crap, whereas the rump is an opportunist who almost certainly does not actually believe any of it. In addition, Pence is an experienced legislator and governor, experience that the rump also does not have, and Pence has deep and decades-long connections with both financial and political operatives from some of the most powerful blocks on the right. Connections that the rump also does not have. And this means that Pence would almost certainly be exponentially more effective at steering nasty stuff through Congress than the rump is proving to be, and much more effective at formalizing the far-right's social agenda into law as well. However, the nuclear war thing absolutely cannot just be ignored. The one thing about the rump that has proven to be the one thing that has most freaked me out about him was when he had to ask Pentagon officials 3 times that if we have nuclear weapons, then why couldn't we use them? The fact that the soon-to-be President of the United States even had to ask such a question in the first place is insane. The fact he had to ask it 3 times indicated that he did not understand the answer the first 2 times. When you start connecting all of those pieces, then you cannot help but come to the logical conclusion putting all of those pieces together can't help but bring about. It seems as if Donald Trump may want to start a frigging nuclear war, probably with Iran, and that he may be angling to do just that. Since that would be the end of the world as we know it, let's hope he does not succeed.
Now, our first prize today is a Baldwin grand piano.
Yes, Bobby, a full-size Baldwin 9-foot concert grand, 88 ivories in two colors, black and white. Retail value $9,000.
Okay, Emma, now you know the rules. Crap it and keep it. Get busy. Oh, come on, Emma. Come on, babe. She's trying. She's breaking out in a sweat. Come on. Oh, time's up. Emma, you look a little peaked, but our staff proctologist, Dr. Ben Dover, is waiting for you backstage. And now, here's Uncle Dave with a swell constipation prize.
Emma, just so you don't go away empty-handed, we'd like you to have a lifetime supply of mineral oil and 6,000 pairs of rubber gloves.
And we will be back with Crap It and Keep It after a quick station break.
The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right. So for our final Thunderbolt this week, we are going to travel to the Middle East. So this whole Israeli-Palestinian thing started back in 1948, when the Zionists stole Palestine by armed force, using tactics that represented textbook examples of terrorism. The Israelis killed many thousands of Palestinians and displaced 750,000 of them from their homes with nothing more than the clothes on their back.
There will be no mistake.
That was 70 years ago.
'Cause I watch every move you make.
And many thousands of those Palestinians,
there'll be nowhere to hide.
Now, along with their grandchildren,
when the world knows the other side,
have been living in foreign refugee camps ever since. Generations of Palestinian children have literally grown up in these camps, never having known anything else. Now, this theft was considered to be legal because a bunch of white imperialists at the time said that it was legal. But those same white imperialists were historically rather famous for saying all kinds of truly nasty stuff was legal. So in this latest Palestinian protest, the Israelis are murdering mostly non-violent civilian protesters by the score, and they are maiming them by the thousands. They're intentionally targeting the arms and legs of protesters so as to maim rather than to kill, as maiming doesn't receive as much public attention as killing, and because maiming thousands of people significantly adds to the already overwhelming load on the already pretty much non-existent Palestinian resources. The Israelis are using explosive bullets that rip off arms and legs and or can blast a fist size hole through your torso or your head. And now in a new development, the snipers are now intentionally targeting aid workers. Now all of these acts violate a large number of wide variety of international laws. But the United States always invariably and usually unilaterally blocks any UN resolutions to try to do anything about it. And so these outrages not only continue with utter impunity, but they are largely paid for with your tax dollars. And Israel is the largest single recipient of American foreign aid of any country in the whole world. And if you take the Israelis at their own word, and specifically, if you take seriously the Israeli claim that they know exactly where each and every Israeli bullet fired goes, and who it hits, then the Israelis were intentionally targeting aid workers. Up until a certain point, not a single aid worker had been killed. And then suddenly, over the period of a single week, 16 of them were killed. They almost immediately effed up, though, because one of the aid workers they shot and seriously injured was a photogenic Canadian citizen. The same day, they also shot four of this Canadian aid worker's colleagues. And one of those colleagues was a Palestinian aid worker who had himself earlier rescued the Canadian aid worker, only to be himself shot and killed just an hour later. Now that incident caused outrage and further attempts at the UN to hold Israel responsible, all to no avail. Thanks to the United States, Israel has a blank check. And then, after all of that, the Israelis not only killed an attractive 20-year-old female aid worker named Razan al-Najjar by shooting her in the chest, but she was an aid worker who had previously conducted numerous interviews on camera due to the fact that she was such a telegenic, charming, selfless, dedicated, brave, inspiring, and beautiful young example of humanity's finest. Those clips were soon playing all over the world. And again, there was universal outrage all over the world. Well, everywhere except in the United States, anyway. And the United States, again, unilaterally blocked yet another UN resolution. And this time, it was a resolution to simply protect Palestinian civilians. So do you get it? This was a simple resolution to simply obey international law and to insist that Israel stop mass murdering grandmothers and unarmed teenage aid workers, and yet the United States unilaterally blocked it. The American representative to the UN at the time, Nikki Haley, said she vetoed the resolution because it was too, quote, one-sided. decided, unquote. Well, I must agree with Ms. Haley. This is indeed a one-sided situation. Israel has one of the largest and most advanced militaries on the planet, along with world-class cutting-edge technologies to suppress civilian populations, while the Palestinians have rocks, Molotov cocktails suspended from balloons and kites, and a few crappy rockets that cannot seem to hit anything. In every confrontation between Israel and the Palestinians,
jostle in the light,
the casualty figures
finding it much soother in the night,
invariably turn out,
with his face as pale as pancakes and his posture in rebellion with his hide,
to be hundreds to one, including the casualty rates among children. And in this latest protest, there have been hundreds of Palestinian deaths, thousands of injuries, with many of those injuries being disfiguring, disabling, and or life-transforming. And not a single Israeli soldier has suffered so much as a nick or a cut.
They came to know him as a man of noble cause, ignoring eccentricities and interactive flaws. The ones that knew him best are the ones that called him kind, clueless to the depth of his complicated mind.
But when he takes a battered glass and he blows it to his face, he gives him that temerity to join the human race. Standing up like brave Ulysses with the star in his hand, pledging to reclaim the synagogue that claims the glory land.
Israeli snipers are sitting behind fortified barricades that are themselves behind a fortified wall, and they are using high-powered sniper scopes to target unarmed teenage civilian aid workers. And their propaganda machine is simultaneously insisting that the Palestinians are the aggressors in this situation. Evidently, their theory is that the Palestinians are the aggressors because they're all so aggressively dying. Yes, this is indeed a one-sided situation, in that the Israelis are free to mass murder civilians with complete impunity, whilst if even a single hair on a single Israeli soldier's head is harmed in any manner whatsoever, the incident elicits wails of outrage from the Zionists, complete with much gnashing of teeth and rending of clothing. And their propaganda machine claims that the Palestinians defending their homeland from a foreign occupying army serves as further evidence that the Palestinians are murderers and terrorists, and thus justifies mass murdering civilians, and thus negates any claim to even the most basic civil liberties, and thus proves the Palestinians unworthy of even the right to food, to medicine, to clean water, to electricity, or to shelter. Due to the Israeli blockade and restrictions on imports, the hospitals in Gaza were already underfunded, understaffed, and undersupplied to the point of a crisis even before the Israelis began blowing off thousands of Palestinian arms and legs. Now, according to reports on the ground, Those hospitals are nothing more than nightmarish charnel houses. What is happening in Palestine represents nothing less than a mass campaign of ethnic cleansing and genocide. Period. And even if Americans continue to ignore it, I can guarantee you that history will remember.
Well, judging by the old clock on the wall, we're out of time. Tune in next time for Crap It and Keep It, right here on CBS.
And it's time to get to work now. All right. So I don't have a calendar for the radio show this week, though there are several things in the newsletter. It's just that they're all online. And I can't really promote online things on the air because you need links. So subscribe to my newsletter and you can go online and do activism that way. There are marches for Black Lives Matter and things like that going on as well. But those things are always usually planned at the last minute kind of thing. And it's hard to, I need some lead time to get those things into the radio show as well. So there is a lot of stuff going on. I just can't tell you about it in a timely enough fashion. So check things out. I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music now, and I think we're going to go with some old-time gospel rock. This is Leon Russell and the Shelter People.
Don't leave me laying up here. What will I do in 2,000 years?
There's a lady I know, and I'm lucky to see. See the woman out there, way. Oh, she weeped up like a widow when heat is clouding up my day. Yeah. She touches my eyes, she takes my heart in her hand. If you knew that child, you'd plainly see. Oh, she laughs, I realize I'm alone with my sweet Emily. Oh, and how the book ends, like a honky-tonk queen. But she tell me what a job will real. Kill down the delight, she make me feel good. And if I need forgive the Lord, I know she was just a warm and love girl. It's a natural fact she could put me right back on the right track. Oh, she keep me company, and I'm talking about my sweet Emily. Oh, a reason the way that I feel. Want the true love will tell you where you hold it. Where do you explain? Will the whole world change? I know that child will always remain the same. What more can I say? The words can describe the feeling that I have inside. But won't you look in my eyes? You know I love my sweet Emily. Yeah, won't you look in my eyes? You know I love my sweet Emily.
honky-tonk town. We're in a jailhouse now. We're in a jailhouse now. Well, they told us once or twice that we're playing cards and shooting dice. We're in a jailhouse now.
Jailhouse, man. All right. That was a set from Leon Russell. That was In the Jailhouse Now. Before that, we had Sweet Emily, and we started off that set with Roll Away the Stone. That was some classic music from back in the day. So that's it for this week. Hope to see you next week. In the meantime, keep your chin up. Peace.
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of The Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.